The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.
Welcome to the Netball Show with Flyhawk. I'm Bethany Hushin, and today we are going to be looking at the bigger impact of sponsorship and really looking into detail how growing your brand presence can really help generate opportunities to showcase netball, especially in the climate that we're in right now. And I'm very happy to say that we are joined today by Claire Nelson, the CEO of Strike Eye Sirens. Hi, Claire. Thank you for joining us.
My absolute pleasure.
So kind of to kick it off, I know we've previously spoken on LinkedIn, and you put a fantastic piece up yesterday, actually, speaking about the parallels between building a successful sports team and building a successful team in business. And fundamentally, it always comes down to the people involved. And you've been really utilising LinkedIn and other social media outlets to really highlight how you're building your brand, especially the last couple of weeks, speaking about mental health, utilising players and even yourself to really highlight those storytelling pieces. That's been a main focus for you, Claire, hasn't it? Especially with gender equality.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in order for us to be able to really try and make an impact on the marketplace and attract new partners and sponsors, they need to know who we are and what we're doing. And we've got to tell a story that we're more than just a minority sport, you know, doing well. And for me, I have been talking about the power of netball and the Netball Super League and what we're doing as clubs for a long time. I know that we can deliver huge impact and return on investment for brands and businesses. I know that we can align with their CSR strategies and look at how we can widen the talent pool access into industry, that we can connect to communities, we can talk about mental health. All of these things are drivers of major businesses at the moment and are strategies that we can help them to amplify or enhance. But we've got to have the ability to tell those stories. And when we don't have big marketing or PR machines, and yes, we've got more visibility with our match days, but our sport isn't massively talked about other than the sport and the competition. And actually utilizing platforms like LinkedIn is a really, really effective way of getting eyeballs of decision makers, brand owners, FDs, to look at what you're doing beyond what they see on court. And for me, that's where the magic and power of our sport is, particularly the fact that we're not professional at the moment. And you look at these amazing women and young people who are competing and training as an elite athlete at the same intensity as footballers and rugby players, but the majority of whom are also holding down other jobs or are studying or have children back in Malawi, as we've talked about with Tuera. And when we talk about these stories, and then we talk about how we're actually trying to influence and impact change around the health and wellbeing agenda, and when you see the size of the power of the audience that we're connecting with, then these messages start to resonate. So I've been really active to talk about who we are, what we do well. And I tell you, it's paying off. This is the first time in a really long time that inquiries are coming into us, not just one or two, but a lot of inquiries are coming in, and from some big brands, and whether you get them over the line or not is another thing. But I'm not going out and hunting, because people are attracted to and engaged by what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and it's that humanistic approach of that storytelling and really getting to know the people behind the athletes and behind your business as well, because you've even been open and honest about your background and your mental health and depression in one of the pieces that were recently out, which is extremely refreshing to see a CEO being open and honest with that. And I bet that helps the players to be a lot more open and honest about their journey. And it's fantastic for young women, or, well, any woman or any male, anybody, seeing people being so open and honest in working in a professional sport business field and as athletes too.
Yeah, Beth, this is what drives me. And anyone that knows me knows that this is a driver. I've literally just come off an hour and a half call with my team in Netball Scotland, where we're talking about our children and young people strategy. And it's driven by, we have to change the system. We have to change the system. And if we want change in the future, whether it is, and again, just not just sport here, but we want to see female leaders, decision makers, equality of access of opportunity. We want to see improvements in the way women are talked about, featured, covered, invested in, supported. We want to see an improvement in mental health. Then it starts now with our young people. And so by using our platform to have these important conversations and to say, you know, things aren't easy, but yes, I am a young female who has four children, who has followed a very diverse but very exciting career path, who hasn't had it easy and is quite happy to talk about the challenges of being a working mother and, you know, children with health difficulties, miscarriage, depression, period pain, all the things, but I can still be a happy powerhouse game changer. You know, we have to do this because we are for too long making it that it's one or the other. And we're seeing that in netball with our athletes. You play or you're a mother, you can't do both. Or you can't earn a living doing these things, or you can't lead, or you can't have children and be a leader. So telling these stories is important, but connecting that back to the commercial piece, these are the conversations that big brands and businesses are now having. They understand, or whether they understand or they're having to do it, either way, there is a shift change in building an inclusive culture that is representative or aware of the needs of women or people with disability or people of color, and how do we change and increase that accessibility? And, you know, using the platform of sport and the people within it to help with that agenda, for me, it's a no-brainer.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there. It's really utilizing what you guys have got. And it's not just, yes, sport is a fantastic vehicle to be able to highlight these issues that happen with many females, many people, not just here in the UK, but around the world, and really utilising that platform that you guys have as sport to look at everyday scenarios and say, you know what, if we can do it, if we can get to that elite level of playing sport, you can, any female can achieve anything if they put their mindset to it, even with these, yes, might be seen as complications, but barriers that are in the way.
Yeah, for me, the most important thing, we've got to be able to just offer choice. Everything comes down to choice. And that's where the system's broken for women or for people of colour or for, you know, LGBTQI community. We don't have the same choices as everybody. And so if you want to just feel happy, fine. If you want to be the world number one at whatever you do in business or industry or sport, then fine. If you want to have 50 children and, you know, run a global empire, then fine. But it's about offering choice. And that's, for me, what I think is really, really important. And what I would like to use our platform to, yes, show that things can be done, but to also say you don't have to follow a route that someone's told you to do. You don't have to look away that society's telling you to do. You do you and be okay with it, because that's where the mental health issues come from, that people don't feel okay with who they want to be authentically. And I just believe that sport, but our sport in particular, that yes, we want to make sure that there is representation of everybody in there, but it's predominantly and proudly run by, for, and with women, that we have a really beautiful opportunity to be part of forging change and to using these conversations. And the call that I've just come off, it was talking about employability, mentoring, it's about links to education. And I asked my team to think about it in 2027, if we're presenting the success of this strategy, what does that look like? And it was more than netball. It was actually about how we've really tangibly changed the system for the better and created opportunities, but through really meaningful pieces of work. And yes, we use our platform Sirens to have the visibility piece, but actually, how are we helping young people to feel better about themselves, have greater choice, and to have improved opportunities?
It's great that you guys have now become a staple in the Vitality Super League. You guys are going from strength to strength on court, and you have come out with some fantastic results this season and have been going higher and higher. But it's also that work off the court, which you guys are working on so hard to really utilise that Sirens brand for good. And that also shows in your commercial portfolio. You can tell over the last 5 or so years since you guys launched that you have really honed in certain areas of the commercial model and to help enhance your brand and awareness, from delivery to match day experience to linking with credible brands and visibility.
Yeah, it is a very definite strategy that we have. So we are commercially funded. So we get no public funding at all. We rely on generating income through sponsorship, ticket sales and other activity. We are supported through kind of resource and expertise and infrastructure through Netball Scotland, but we have to generate income. And if we want to grow and do more and be more, then we've got to bring more income in. From the outset, when I launched Sirens and was like, we are going to change the game here. I've talked about this a lot, but I was like, I just want this club to be credible and to position it as a major professional club in Scotland at that point. So, you know, who we partnered with was critical to that. One of the first partners we brought on board was the Wood Group. They are a multi-billion pound global oil and gas organization leadership. And they worked with us around the talent piece because they weren't bringing enough women and girls into oil and gas engineering. And we connected this to our university partner and into our pathway. So we were like, how do we speak to young girls in our pathway? Talk to them about the opportunities in this industry. That then can connect them into the university and education choices, and that then gives them a route of partnership into industry. So we look at game changing, but I was really conscious that I would value us higher. You know, it was, you don't get on the dress for less than a certain amount of money. And this was at the time I was selling a team that no one had heard of and a sport that no one watched live, but they believed in us and what we were trying to do. And that's the thing, you know, it's not about eyeballs. Of course that helps, but it's about impact. People want to make an impact. Yeah, Red Bull came to us first, you know, and wanted to work with us. I think we were their only or their first women's team sport that they were working with, and we were only one of three sports kind of people that they were representing. That was 3-4 years ago. They came to us because, again, they loved the off-court stuff. So now the way I look at it is I want to work with credible brands who can help us to grow, increase our visibility and enhance what we are doing and how we do it. And some of the ones, you know, around the visibility pieces, like Capital Radio, we've just done a week-long on-air competition with them. We're going to do a do-good kind of mental health campaign with them. They reach new young audiences, moms for kids, that we, you know, couldn't do normally. We want to get into hearts and minds of homes. We do a lot with press and media. We had a partnership with Metro newspaper for that regular coverage. Obviously now we're running headlines, not sidelines. And we were retail partners in Glasgow because I'm like, how do people who are not netballers know what we're doing? And so with Princess Square, which is this gorgeous, massive retail shopping mall in the centre of Glasgow, how do people go for their dinner and then come to a match or go for drinks afterwards? University of Strathclyde is our strategic partner who are helping us to grow, and we've got the likes of Adeo who helped the team to launch our app this year. So again, it's enhancing the fan experience and allowing us to capture data and to talk to our fans. So every person, I say people, they're brands, but it's people that we make relationships with. They buy what we're doing, and we come up with really creative, meaningful activation strategies that go far beyond a logo on a dress and are actually about driving. I mean, we've worked with financial services. Money matters because I'm like, people are going to be worried about their finances. We build a family of part, amplify what we're trying to do, and we enhance and amplify what their strategies are.
That's how it's so key to be building your presence as a brand and building that storytelling piece, and how that marries up with your commercial portfolio. And even the likes of Adeo and Capital and even your credible brands like Nike and Iron Brew, having that link and that package together and then creating those activations that benefits both parties, yourself growing as a brand, but also the initiatives that those commercial partners that you guys have brought on, that they're aim is also met. It's working collaboratively together. Instead of it being seen as sponsorship, it's a partnership, it's relationships.
It's all relationships, and actually people use the language of partnerships now, and that's important. I can't believe I missed Iron Brew. I was so happy to get Iron Brew on our portfolio this year, and everyone loves it. But you know, Iron Brew is one of the biggest brands in Scotland. I mean, everyone knows it. It's absolutely iconic. They sponsor all the big football leagues and teams. And so when a brand like Iron Brew starts to partner with Sirens, this netball club, people go, huh? Who's that? And that's what I'm looking to do. It's like, you know, you hear them on Capital, let's go and see what Sirens are doing. And then you see the TikTok content and it looks cool. This isn't about selling netball, this is about selling a brand, a lifestyle piece, about building the Sirens tribe. And the beauty that we keep saying for Sirens is we're a national club. Like we keep saying we're a club for everyone. There's no regional divide, there's no city divide. This is about backing a women's sports team who are competing in a UK-wide league, and we can all get right behind that in any way. And our sponsors and partners help us to do that.
I absolutely love that. And anyone listening right now, I would get on the TikTok and have a look at those videos because they are awesome. And I'd also look at the videos that the players and Claire has done about mental health, especially over the last week. I know it's on your LinkedIn. I'm sure it's on all your other social media.
Yeah.
Before I let you go, Claire, as a woman working in the sport business side, especially building up the commercial presence, it's something, it's a side of sport that I've had experience in, and we don't see many women coming through in that space. What advice would you give to any women listening right now who want to get into the business side of sport?
Oh, good question. And by the way, did you just see the new CEO of Wrexham Football Club is a woman, the previous chief commercial officer at another club? And I was like, oh, I just celebrated that. Mind you, Wrexham now being owned by Ryan Reynolds, I'm sure there was a queue of women wanting to take that role. Look, it's not going to be easy because it's about opportunities. And actually, the commercial side of sport currently, professional sport, is largely dominated by men. But that doesn't mean that, you know, we cannot start to change that. I think I do always say you're going to have to back yourself. We can't wait for doors to be opened or chairs to be pulled out of the table or for someone to go, oh, actually, we should have. So if you think you've got skills and expertise, then go and put yourself forward. And, you know, there are even just an advisory group or boards. It's about those connections and getting in that environment. Actually going and working with women's sports teams is critical. So I've made a name for myself because I have bought in a lot of cash sponsorship and signed a lot of really quite groundbreaking partnerships in my sport. So it's actually easy to make a name for yourself in women's sport doing these sorts of things because it's not a cluttered market space. So go and find your local, you know, women's football club or rugby club and say, I'll take a commission, put me on a retainer, and I'm going to look at your brand, business and commercial strategy, deliver those results, and then take those results and go look at what I'm capable of. Use LinkedIn to shout about what you're doing. But it's just if you believe in yourself, then create the opportunities and shout about it. We women don't shout about what we're good at. We see it as, you know, arrogance, or are people going to, well, if we don't shout about ourselves, no one else is doing it for us. So go, and again, you can look at my LinkedIn content to see every single post is a sales post, but it's coming from a strategy, impact, health and well-being, women and girls, reach, game-changing, pioneering. These are all the buzzwords. Every single one on there is about attracting new partners and sponsors, and it's a sales pitch. So, you know, I I'm quite happy, Beth, to take calls from people if they want some help or I can help with that. But we've got to start flooding the industry now with the talent that's out there, and we've got to start forcing some of the opportunities.
I think that's absolutely fantastic advice, Claire, and I would definitely agree with that from my journey in working in the sponsorship side. It's learning exactly the structure of how sport businesses work, including netball clubs, and it's great to see that netball is becoming a viable sport business, and that's where they should be, and that's how we're going to get ourselves on the professional spectrum. And our players will hopefully be earning what they deserve to be earning. It's great to see the amount, the movement and the growth over the last 10 years. And having clubs like yourselves building that commercial presence and other clubs following that is only going to make the Vitality Super League go from strength to strength and netball as a whole go from strength to strength.
And that allows us to do more of the off-court impact stuff. You know, we are here to fill arenas, to be on TVs, to be on billboards, in magazines, household names. We're here to do that. But for me, what drives me is what that allows us to do in terms of this systematic change, the visibility, the mental health, the, you know, the role models, body image, leaders. That's why we need to grow the sport, because that's how we create a better, brighter, fairer future for the nation.
And that's it. And all we can ask anybody that's listening right now is keep that conversation going. Keep speaking about netball. Keep sharing about netball. Even if it's not the team that you support, keep that discussion going. We all have a responsibility here to help push the growth of netball. Anybody, if you play, you watch, anything, just even sharing, liking a post, just getting that conversation out there makes hopefully our lives easier. Your life easier working for a club, but let's all get shouting about netball. And if you are a woman working in the sport business side, not just netball, but across any sports, shout about it. It's amazing. Yeah.
I know. And Bethany, I know we keep trying to end, but we could talk about this all day. But, you know, that point you've just made there is something I've spoken about in a few interviews and press articles recently. The fans have a really important part to play on this, because, you know, something we can build good brands and we can deliver impact, but genuinely what makes the conversation easier and drives the commercial growth is engagement by fans. So if our fans grow, and that is online watching or bums on seats, and it shouldn't be one or the other, it should be everything. If we can show demand, and we've also got the eyeballs to this powerful audience as well as all the impact stuff, then we become a really, really powerful force to be reckoned with. But we're still a little bit small, and we've got to get bigger, and we've got to show that pace of growth. So this is why we're always shouting at our fans, consume the content, buy the tickets, show up, click, even if you're not in, put your TV on and make sure that we are recording, that we're watching these games, because that's absolutely critical to driving the commercials as well.
So anybody listening, you've all got homework to do. You've all got to go and look at all these things that we've suggested by Claire. And also you can contact Claire if you would like any advice by the sound of it. She's offering her services.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Claire. That was absolutely fantastic. And good luck with you for the rest of the season.
I know. It's been a good one. Thanks for having me on. It was nice to speak to you as always.
The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.